You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Amanda Harrison here with Ron Kitchens. In the last podcast, we discussed the heart behind our wellness strategy at Southwest Michigan First. We talked about our holistic approach, we talked about our wellness committee, and we even talked about the emphasis that we do place on physical fitness as well. Today, we're diving into some remaining points that complete our wellness strategy. Ron, the first one I want to touch on is the idea of rest. I know that taking the time to rest and recharge is a big thing that you've talked about for leaders to be successful. What's your thought behind that, and why is that such a driver for you?
Your wellness strategy begins when you go to bed. Your day for our team has to begin at 10 o'clock at night or whenever it is they're going to bed. And that's how we build that. So, you know, the data clearly shows that a lack of sleep shortens life, shortens productivity. It causes weight gain in people. It is critical. And so if I'm driving people to the point organizationally where their stress levels are so high they can't sleep, or their work burden is so high they can't sleep, or we're not giving them capacity for their families, that they're not getting the rest they need, then we'll never get the productivity we need out of our team members. You know, if you're putting low-grade gas in your car, or if you put great gas in your car, but then you put 25% water in there, your car is not going to run. It'll run for a little while, but it will die on you on the side of the road. And that's what rest is. It's putting high-octane fuel in the car of a leader.
So I know that we've talked about before on the blog and on the podcast that when you are at those points of burnout, you often make bad decisions. So I know you've put some things in place that are obviously encouragement to get the sleep you need, but also some structural things like our choosing to cheat strategy, half day Fridays in the summer. Why are those things important to have actual measures in place?
Yeah, I think I read a report a few years ago that our friend John Acuff sent me that he had discovered that was really interesting, that historically looked at leaders who had made really bad decisions. And it focused a lot on bad moral decisions or bad financial decisions. And then it looked at that leader's life leading up to it, the days leading up to those decisions. And what the report clearly showed was that people who were under a lot of stress and who hadn't been getting any rest were making these bad decisions that in a lot of cases completely destroyed their companies, it destroyed their families, it destroyed their lives, simply could have been solved by a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. So it's critically important that we understand that. And so there are some things that we can do. I can't make people to go to bed on time. I can't make them de-stress or take care of themselves, but I can create opportunities that show it's important. So it's things like our office closes at noon on Fridays from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Now, those of you who know Michigan know that we pay our dues in the winter.
Yes, we
and
do.
And summer is royally beautiful. It's an incredible time in Michigan. And so I want my team out enjoying their time with their families. Now, the truth is, they'll still get the important things done in those 4.5 days. They really trim away the fat. They trim away those things that otherwise aren't leading them to be successful. But it's also, you know, the choosing to cheat strategy, which we've talked about a lot, but simply, if you've got to make a decision between your family and your job, and if I represent your job, then you cheat me. You cheat me. Your family is too important. You are the only person put on this earth to serve your role with your family responsibilities. We'll get by in the office, but the reality is most people are so committed to their work, or certainly the talented people that we get to work with every day, that they just need permission to focus on their families. They're still going to get all the work done. They're going to do an amazing job of it. You know, I'm still amazed when I go into companies, and we do lots of work and coaching with companies and leaders where they have these really, really structured time off and vacation time, plans that are hard to understand, and I see data of something like half the people in America don't use all of their vacation time. You know, it's a really bad idea. So, if you're running an emergency room, you need to know that there are doctors and nurses that are kind of come there, but most people aren't running emergency rooms. And so long as you have a basic understanding of what it takes to run the organization, letting people determine their own vacation days, letting them take whatever time off they need, knowing that the ultimate goal and their ultimate responsibility is to complete the duties assigned to them, people do an amazing job. And if they're not doing that, it may be your fault as a leader that you either have the wrong people on your team, you haven't been clear about what roles and responsibilities are, or that you're creating an environment where people see you as a leader never leave. And if you never leave to take a vacation, why would they ever feel comfortable doing that? So I point a lot of the wellness strategy has to go back to the traits that the point leader puts on display for his team.
Absolutely. So we've talked about some of the unique ways that we look at wellness as a team, but we also have obviously those tangible benefit side of wellness as well. So can you speak to some of those things that aren't necessarily handled by the wellness committee, but instead are more of a function of management, like health insurance, for example?
Yeah, for us, health insurance is one of those tough ones. It's confusing. It's expensive. It is ever-changing. And so we've got a great insurance broker who works with us, an agency that helps us build it. We use a health savings account strategy because I believe in people and I want to give them as much responsibility as possible. So the health savings account strategy, we fund that high deductible amount. It still is cheaper for us than a traditional program, but it also allows those who manage their own health care to use those dollars towards their retirement programs. So what we have is people with a clear understanding and an ownership of their own health care and the ability to read the doctor bill to make sure they're being charged a fair amount, to shop around. But we also use a program called TeleDoc that allows every employee and all of their dependents to get on the phone. And within, 30 minutes or so, you're talking to a doctor who can then handle those kind of traditional, normal healthcare things at zero cost to you as an employee. So we've brought our utilization up in terms of the amount of healthcare utilization, but our costs down in terms of the actual cost of the organization, which means lower premiums for us, lower deductibles, and our ability to then use those resources to do more things for our team members.
Well, on that TeleDoc note too, I know that if team members had to stop in the middle of their day as soon as they feel a cold perhaps or the flu and go sit in an urgent care room, that takes a couple hours out of their day. If they can just pick up the phone and call TeleDoc, you get it taken care of right there. It's so convenient and so easy.
Absolutely. And it's in the middle of the night too. So we had a coworker the other night who had a sick child who had an ear infection. The child's prone to the ear infection. At 3 o'clock in the morning, she was on the phone with TeleDoc, got medicine sent to her pharmacy or the prescription sent to her pharmacy, which is open 24 hours a day. She was able to go get the medicine. And by 4:30 in the morning, she's back asleep. The child's had some relief. She was a little groggy coming to work the next day, but she and that child were at school and work the next day. That's just not going to happen without any other resource. And so it's really important for us to do that. And, and I have a daughter off in college, so I know that she's going to get good medical service when the campus clinic's not open, and TeleDoc has done that for us.
Well, and I know you've said before too, if someone's worrying about how they're going to take care of their sick child, or if they're worried about those doctor's bills, they're not going to be productive because their mind is going to be elsewhere. So just having these really great healthcare benefits really contributes to our wellness strategy as a whole, which is fantastic. As you can probably see too, we're talking about family a lot, and that is hugely important to the team at Southwest Michigan First. Ron, can you talk about why family is such an important part of our wellness strategy and what kinds of things we do with our families beyond including them in health benefits?
The old world where I grew up was kind of the transition time between the old model of corporate governance and the new model. So I was on that summit, if you will, of knowing which side to go to. And so it used to be that as an employer, you didn't want to know your employee's family. You didn't want to know anybody outside of work. That's just never satisfying to me. You know, we don't have 30 people who work with us. We have 30 families that are part of our extended family. And when I have members of the team who are traveling for a week or 10 days at a time on business, I know their spouse is carrying a heavy load to benefit us as an organization. I know that their children are seeing that parent less than they need to because that parent has to carry that load for us. So it's incredibly important to me that we lift up family members. So when we have financial planning, we want to bring the family member in there. When we have the annual review of our healthcare insurance programs, we want to bring the family members in there. But we also want to have fun. We go to each other's families, kids' events, kids' basketball games and baseball games, and want to support choir concerts and school plays. Now, not everybody goes to everything, but we're asking people to give a third of their life to our organization in terms of the time they're spending with us working, and we need to support that other components of their life. And quite honestly, we enjoy each other's company, and we like to do things together.
Absolutely. Switching gears a little bit, I want to talk about community involvement as it relates to our wellness strategy. So Southwest Michigan First is very involved in the community, not just in jobs creation, but in other aspects as well. So why is that important?
For the same reason that it's important that a point leader has to display the traits of wellness to his or her team, we as an organization have to display those same traits in the community so that the community says, oh, there is a better way, and those people will let me learn from them, and they will lead against that. You know, we tend to enter things as team jobs. We don't want anybody to ever forget that we believe the greatest force for change is a job. And so team jobs has been in the color run. I still don't quite get the color run, but I'm supporting of it. If people love it, then I'm there for it. You know, our team leads on Go Red for Women, which supports women's heart health. And so we both financially support it. Our team raises a lot of money for it. We always have a table there, but we're also bringing other community leaders inside the room, under the tent, if you will, to say, we support women. We have an amazing group of women who are running our business units of our companies, and we want to lift them up as examples of people who are committed to our community and committed to health. But we also have volunteers on our team who are, you know, one of the members of our team won the both regional and national level with AAU men's basketball. So that's exciting, but we have them active in Girls on the Run, youth travel programs, but it really is about showing the community that we're not only the jobs team, we're people who are committed to building a really healthy, amazing community.
Awesome. So if this concept of a holistic wellness strategy is something that the leaders listening today either want to ramp up in their organization, or maybe they have to start from scratch, what are some easy, practical ways that they can get started right away?
So, you know, that's a great question. You know, one of the things that comes to mind, our good friend Randy Thalen, who's at the Omaha Chamber, used to be in Holland, Michigan. And one of the things that Randy did for his team that we've incorporated is a Nike Fuel Band. It's sharing with each other what our goals are and kind of building an accountability group of doing that. So all of us on the team have got either Nike Fuel Bands or Fitbits, depending on your personal preference to that, but we're sharing that with each other. We're talking about it. Tends to, with our group, get a little competitive about who can get the most steps in or who got the most sleep or what your sleep patterns look like. But it creates a dialogue and a conversation about wellness and fitness that I think is critically important. But it's always about, too, constantly looking for change. It's like your workout at the gym. If you do the same thing every day for 6 months, it gets really boring. So you've got to change that up. So we're always bringing in new things. Now, we're going to stick to our five F's, but how we execute those and what the tactics are is ever changing. So we're constantly looking for new things that help us do that. But again, it's also making sure that we're having fun and experiencing things together. So, you know, we've talked about it on previous podcasts, but, you know, the annual kickball game gets very competitive. But the fact is, our team loves that. They love that thing, but it's not the game. It's the fact that we can socially do things together and put ourselves in a different creative environment. Those are the kind of things we want to do together and constantly learning. So we have a team full of learners. And so I encourage point leaders, you can't do this all yourself. So get a great committee who are also learners, have passion, and they're probably going to only have passion for a certain area. So just make sure you have a diverse committee and you focus on all the areas of interest to them.
So I like what you've said, Ron. A lot of the examples you shared might be things that are already happening in people's organizations. So if they already do an annual employee retreat or an annual employee meeting, you can incorporate fun, healthy initiatives like We Have Kickball. Or if you're already giving your employees or your team a gift at Christmas time or a gift as a result of a profitable year or a bonus, maybe it's a health-related gift, like a Nike Fuel Band. So these are not necessarily pie in the sky, visionary things. These are taking your practices you already have and drilling down and finding ways to incorporate that wellness strategy. So I think those are fantastic examples. Do you have any final thoughts for us as we close?
Yeah, remember that you've hired amazing people and ask them for their input. You know, we're looking at designing some new office space. So my assumption was the kitchen break area would kind of go in the middle of this space, so it was easily accessible. And somebody came up to me and said, I think you should put it in the far corner of the space, as far away as possible, not so people won't use it, but so they get exercise walking to it. I thought that was great feedback and great idea on how we can empower each other. And, you know, most of the things we do around our ideas of wellness have really been designed by members of the team. We try things, some work, some don't, but you just take what works, make it better, and keep moving forward. You know, but I'd love to hear what other people are thinking and doing, what their best practices are. If we use them, I'll talk about them on subsequent podcasts. But if you've got a great idea, I'd love for you to send me a note at ronkitchens.com. And hopefully on a future podcast, we can talk about your great ideas too.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens. Thanks for joining us today for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. Listen, Catalyst University is happening in just a few short weeks. Join us in Kalamazoo, Michigan, as we hear from inspiring leaders like John Gordon, Scott Harrison, Scott Belsky, and Wes Moore. Don't know who they are? Visit catalystuniversity.me. And it is not too late to get your ticket, but time is ticking.